pitch the ball to Bell. That's upfield. 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. He's in the 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Cowboys. What a run.
Kicks it left wing, Lucas. Three-point jumper. Good. 6 seconds.
Okay, welcome back to the podcast. Today we're going to talk to Gina Mizell, who's the new football beat writer for the Oklahoman. She just joined Mike Sherman and his team over there, and she will be covering your top 10 ranked Cowboys this season. So make sure and follow her on Twitter at Gina Mizell. That's G-I-N-A-M-I-Z-E-L-L. And you can check her work out at newsok.com. So let's get to the podcast. Okay, I'm here today with Gina Mizell, the new Oklahoma State sports beat writer, I guess football beat writer for the Oklahoman. How's it going, Gina?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing good. You said you're kind of getting situated in Stillwater. You went to the press conference luncheon today. How was that?
It was very good. That was really my first chance to interact with players. I met Coach Gundy at practice yesterday, but only for a couple of minutes, just kind of a hey, how you doing introduction type thing. So today was really my first time to really get to talk to players and actually, you know, ask Coach Gundy a couple of questions. So if anybody's, you know, familiar with how these media things work at OSU, pretty much kind of a free-for-all as far as they bring in like 6-7 players, and you kind of just go around like asking whoever you need to ask a question to. So it's kind of like musical chairs. That's kind of how I would equate it. So it was a little bit nuts, and you're trying to get as much information as you can to kind of not just hold you over for the day, but basically to hold you over until next Saturday, because this was the only time that they were all available. So it was a little bit crazy, but luckily John Helsley was also there. So I think between the two of us, we kind of tag teamed it and got a bunch of information. But yeah, it was great for me just to you know, kind of get myself out there to kind of meet people for the first time, get to chat with people. And so overall, it was really good.
Well, your last, I guess, what, 3 weeks have just been, I mean, what has it been? What's the last 3 weeks been like for you?
It's been pretty nuts. I mean, I would say even going back to when this whole process began, as far as when I was first contacted about this position and then was interviewed and just everything, you don't really expect something like this to come along. And so, yeah, it's been very crazy. As far as, you know, once I was officially offered the job and hired, you know, that you go through that period where I, you know, put in my 2 weeks notice at my previous place of work, and I felt like I was kind of living a double life for a while, because I was either at work in Beaumont. No, I was either at work in Beaumont, you know, getting my stuff done, making sure everything was good to go there, obviously wanted to finish strong. And then when I wasn't at work, I was either apartment hunting, which is really hard to do when you're in Beaumont and trying to find a place in Stillwater, or, you know, obviously doing tons of research on this team and just kind of trying to get everything ready for the move and just everything. So I haven't slept very much in the past 3 weeks. I would be lying to you if I said I was not exhausted. So in a way, once I kind of get settled in here, I know the season's obviously going to be crazy, but it's almost a little bit easier now that I'm like, okay, I only have one responsibility, rather than it felt like 5,000 different responsibilities the last couple of weeks.
Well, you talked about, okay, so you talk about doing research for this team. Where do you even begin to, because obviously, I mean, you probably know or knew who Whedon and Blackman were, but beyond that, you probably didn't know a ton about, you know, kind of the details of this team. Where do you begin researching?
Sure. You know, I like you said, as a general, you know, national college football fan, obviously I had some idea about this team as far as the star power on this team and just obviously how great last season was, a record-breaking year. Being from Arizona, I was very appreciative of the Alamo Bowl results, being a Sun Devil. So obviously I paid attention to that last year. But yeah, I mean, kind of, you know, where I started was I got a media guide when I came up and interviewed, and before I even knew I had the job, I was already, you know, thumbing through that pretty extensively. And the biggest thing I think is I just went back and I literally went back through every single game from last year and read every single story that the Oklahoman had put out and watched every video and basically tried to absorb as much information as I possibly could. And, you know, took notes and all that good stuff. And then, you know, was obviously reading up on the coverage every single day from here and even, you know, the Tulsa World and just anywhere that I could kind of get information. But you kind of come into this knowing that you're not going to know every single thing that you want to. And it's just impossible to have, you know, all the historical context and just to know every single detail. But, you know, that's kind of what happens anytime you get thrown into a new beat or a new assignment. You know, the similar thing happened to me last season when I went to San Diego to cover the Padres. And I was thrown into that almost 2 months into the season because I started after I graduated college. So this was like the end of May and the season had started at the beginning of April. And so that was, I think, even more of a challenge because you were already in the middle of the season and being thrown into a major league baseball clubhouse saying, all right, go find, you know, news and notes items, go write game stories, go introduce yourself to people. So, yeah, it's a challenge and it's going to be a process. And I feel like I'm very lucky in that I'm in a place where, like I mentioned before, you know, John Helsley has been around forever. People like Barry Trammell has been around forever. You know, Jenny Carlson's been around forever. And, I feel like I have people that I can lean on for help and can, you know, kind of take me through this process as I kind of ease into it. But I feel like, you know, once you get your feet wet and once you start talking to people, once you're kind of immersed in everything, then it flows pretty well. So, yeah, it's been tough and I feel like I'm playing catch up. But if I got to, like, cram for tests, that's kind of what I feel like I'm doing, then I would much rather be studying football and studying players and teams and all that kind of stuff than, you know, some other things you could be studying. So no complaints from me on that end.
Well, I don't know how much those guys will appreciate you saying that they've been around forever, but...
well, you know what I mean. They're veterans in this business, I guess you could say.
What's the most interesting sport to cover? You've had... you know, background in most of them, I think. What to you is the most interesting sport to cover?
Ooh, that's a good question. I feel like everything's a little bit different. Definitely, you know, last summer being with MLB.com, being, you know, around the Padres, that's just an interesting dynamic, I feel like, to me, because, you know, it's a good and it's a bad thing because the clubhouse is, you know, basically open, like 3 hours before the game. And you can just hang out in there and you can go up to whoever you want to go up to. And it's very laid back. It's very, I guess, because there's games every day. Like people kind of, the players get used to you being there. You kind of get to know people's personalities. And so you don't really have to schedule a lot with as far as like media relations people go. You can kind of just do your own thing and go up to whoever you want to. But that can also be bad because sometimes it's good when people can schedule things for you because then you know the player has to show up or things like that. So yeah, that was just a different environment just because it's very relaxed. It's very, it kind of goes with the flow of baseball as far as, you know, that type of sport. But I would say, you know, my favorite sport to cover is it is college football, which is why this is, you know, such an amazing opportunity for me. Just because I this is the sport that I've grown up on. This has always been my favorite sport, and you know, there's so much passion behind it. There's so much pageantry. I love all that kind of stuff, and so you know, it's a little bit more restricted, obviously, with college kids, and they're a little more careful with what who can say what and how much access you can have, but. I'm really looking forward to it, and I think, you know, there's a lot going on in the national college football world right now, too, and I think, you know, luckily none of the bad stuff is affecting, you know, this team, but, I mean, there's just a lot going on, and I feel like the game is in kind of an interesting state just nationally, and so I think it's an interesting time to be covering the sport, and, you know, obviously I'm really excited to be doing that here.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no shortage of things to write about or blog about.
Oh.
You talked about growing up with Arizona State. You know, you talked a little bit about that in your podcast with Mike Sherman.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something that kind of piqued my interest. You said you watched so many other people grow up with those different teams.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think we measure so many different life moments by sporting events and by, you know, different years teams?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, you know, it's funny just because I feel like, you know, that is something that, you know, I did with my family. And that was like, you know, one thing that, you know, we always like, that was kind of one constant always in my childhood growing up. You know, I've brought this up with other people, but like my parents split up when I was 8 years old, and like through any bad times, through any fighting, through any, you know, just junk that ever we went through, even like the one thing that everyone can still agree on is ASU football. Seriously, if there's ever anything going wrong, we're like, okay, let's talk about the Devils. And let's just, and if we're griping about it, we're griping about something similar, like they just lost or they're playing terrible defense or they, you know, can't, you know, protect the quarterback or something like that. So, I mean, that's just, to me, it's always been more than just a team. And yeah, I grew up going, you know, in the same season ticket seats my whole life until I went to college and, you know, went to travel to road games all the time and bowl games. And then, you know, to cover that team while I was in school was, you know, a surreal experience. And so like that was a huge part of my life growing up. And yeah, like you, when you have season tickets, a lot of times it's the same people around you each year. And yeah, you see families grow up, you see kids that are your age grow up or kids that are older or younger or whatnot. And I think, yeah, it's something that, you know, brings people together. It sounds super cheesy, but it is. It's something that I'll always look back on, and that was a big part of my childhood. And I think that's a huge reason why I wanted to do this, you know, for my career.
Yeah, I agree. It's you know, you say it, and it sounds cheesy, and you say it sounds cheesy, but it's true. And I think a lot of people, mm-hmm. you know, that are our age and that are in college right now definitely feel like that. Okay, lighter note. What better uniforms? Obviously, Arizona State and Oklahoma State both got new uniforms this year. Who's got the better threads?
Ooh, I mean, it's hard because I actually have not seen either one like in person. I've only seen pictures and videos and that kind of thing. I was a big proponent of ASU getting the black jerseys, which obviously Oklahoma State already has. Black, you know, as one of their primary colors, so you can't really go that direction. But I wasn't a huge fan of the gray or silver or whatever we want to call it at this point. But Barry Trammell was talking about how he actually saw them in person a few weeks ago and that they looked super sharp. So I guess I'll have to kind of wait until I see both of them in person, or at least, like, you know, I'm not going to see ASUs in person most likely this year, but, you know, see them on TV or just, like, see them on in the game type situation. But I'm a huge fan of the new Pitchfork logo. They're kind of doing away with the Sparky mascot, cartoon, whatever. And I think the Pitchfork looks pretty slick, and now they've got a bunch of different helmet combinations, kind of like OSU does, and so they're, like, going to supposedly break out all-white jerseys for when they travel to Illinois to play, and then they're going to break out the all-black jerseys against Mizzou in a couple of weeks, and they have, like, a maroon helmet now and this and that. So I think both look pretty sharp. I definitely think OSUs are a huge upgrade. But I got to go with my personal one just because I'm a huge fan of the black for ASU, and I'm glad that they, you know, finally did that, because that's been a rumor for a while that they were going to introduce that. And so I'm glad they finally did it. And
yeah,
I think it's good for both schools, again, to kind of just, you know, it creates buzz. It is what it is. It creates buzz, and, you know, any buzz is good buzz, I feel like. You know, everyone complains about Oregon's jerseys, but we keep talking about Oregon's jerseys, so obviously they're getting publicity, and recruits like it, and I think, you know, people, it's kind of goofy that people care so much about it, but I think it's a good marketing technique, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Did you see the new Oregon uniforms today, by the way?
Oh, did they unveil new ones already?
Well, see, we keep calling them new ones, and it's like, I don't even know what's new
anymore. I feel
like
they just keep adding different things.
Yeah. I don't know what's been retired. I don't know what's new, but they did come out with everything's black except for an O on the helmet and maybe an O on the chest or something. Like, it looks good.
Okay.
So, I think some of those are a little...
Maryland, like, just introduced new jerseys maybe a couple of days ago, and I was only like seeing it on my phone, so I couldn't really see, but I didn't like them. I was like, I don't know, but maybe that was just me. But
no, they're not
like this time. Yeah. Okay, you've seen those ones too?
Yeah, it's not good at all.
Yeah.
They've got this, it's like a turtle diagram, not a diagram, like an outline on the helmet, and it just,
it's weird. I don't know. I'm not a fan. I guess maybe not all jerseys are good, but ASU's and OSU's are good. I like both. I give both of those a thumbs up.
Well, I think fans have this expectation of the media or their own beat writers to kind of pull for their team. And, you know, I know that's kind of a touchy subject in journalism. What's your expectation of yourself in terms of covering OSU, and you don't want to get too close, but you want to be objective? How does that all work?
Well, you know, my job first and foremost is not to be a fan of this team. You know, it is to be objective. It is to be a straight shooter, I guess, for a lack of a better term. But you know, at the same time, there's a difference between being a fan and, you know, building good relationships, and that's my biggest, you know, objective is to build those types of relationships, to build sources that I'm able to, you know, tell good stories. And in my experiences, as long as, you know, you treat people with respect, as long as you're accurate, and as long as you're, you know, treat the job seriously and, you know, do it to the best of your ability. And, like I said, you know, be respectful and be truthful and, to everyone in the program, then usually that ends up, you know, taking care of itself as far as, you know, relationship building goes. But, I mean, I hate to break it to fans, but no, I'm not going to be an OSU homer. That's just not going to happen. But at the same time, you know, I'm not going to root against the Cowboys either. I'm just kind of there as an innocent bystander, I guess you could say. And, you know, again, my job is to inform the audience of what's going on as far as news goes. My job is to tell really good stories. My job, I will say this, is my, you know, main goal is to bring people and to bring readers and audience members. I hate to say readers because so many people, you know, watch videos and listen to stuff like this now. And so it's to bring people inside this program and to try to find those stories and to try to tell those stories that you wouldn't know unless, you know, you were reading my coverage or the Oklahoman's coverage. So as far as that goes, you know, that's my goal, is just to bring people inside this team without openly rooting for it, because that just, like I said, that just won't happen. That's not my job. That's, you know, honestly against journalism ethics. And so I'll be around, and I'm sure that I will become, you know, friendly with, you know, coaches and players, as far as we'll have a good relationship. We'll be able to say, hey, what's going on, make small talk, in addition to doing, you know, the normal interview type stuff. But no, it's not my job to root for this team. I don't intend to root for this team. I just intend to, you know, tell it like it is and be straightforward, but at the same time, tell really good stories and bring people inside this program and inside this team, and hopefully give them a little something that, you know, they wouldn't know, even if they attended every game, watched every game, you know, were at every game, that they wouldn't know otherwise unless they were, you know, kind of reading my stuff. I kind of want to be that bridge in between the team and the audience, and that's what I feel like, you know, my role is as a journalist.
Right, and I think, and you've obviously probably read most of his stuff, but Brandon Chapman, who was previously at the Oklahoman, he did a really great job of that, because he never rooted, he never insinuated that he was a fan, but he did such a great job of getting close to the team and kind of translating everything for, you know, the common viewer or the common Oklahoma State fan. And it was impressive. I think it's a very, it's tough to do. I mean, it's difficult to get that close and still stay detached. I guess on top of that, would you ever be able to cover Arizona State, do you think?
Ooh, I mean, it's interesting you say that, because I mean, I did while I was in school. Obviously, I, you know, did the student newspaper. I did, you know, stuff with TV and with radio, And it's a little bit different while you're in school because, you know, obviously you kind of don't have a choice. But,
right.
I mean, yeah, I think that, you know, I think it would be very challenging as far, I don't know if I would be considered for a job like that because of a conflict of interest. I don't know if I want to take a job like that because it would be a conflict of interest just because I wouldn't want to put anybody in a bad spot because then as soon as someone finds out, I'm an ASU alum. And not just that, but that's the team that I root for when I was a kid and still do, to be quite honest with you. I think that that just creates way too much trouble for anyone to have to deal with. So, I mean, I would say probably not. You know, you never rule anything out, but I would say that probably would be something that I personally wouldn't be comfortable doing, and probably any potential employer would be comfortable doing. I'm saying that they wouldn't be comfortable doing that. So yeah, it's kind of weird because it'll be tough for me to ever go back to Phoenix because I just know that whatever it kind of even extends to the Suns and the Diamondbacks and the Cardinals and kind of all the hometown teams that I ended up cheering for, and I don't know if I want to put myself in that type of position or put my employer in any type of position like that. So yeah, this is probably not in the cards, but in a way that's kind of good because I can't kind of be isolated and kind of cheer on the side, I guess you could say, be the sports fan that I am without having to feel like I'm, you know, violating any codes or any journalism ethics.
Right. Who do you read as a sports journalist? Who do you look up to in that field?
Oh, that's a good question too. Well, I, you know, get Sports Illustrated every single week and, you know, Gary Smith, who does a lot of the really, in-depth pieces, he's brilliant and he's, you know, probably the best ever, I would say, or at least the best, you know, in the past 30 years, I would say. You know, I love guys like Rick Riley who can bring such a type of, you know, flair to his writing and yet still be, you know, really emotional and tell those really good stories. I really respect columnists. People like Sally Jenkins is really good. And then, you know, I've grown up on people. I grew up reading the Arizona Republic, and so I respect a lot of those writers and a lot of those columnists. But I would say, yeah, though, as far as, you know, national people go, I mean, guys like Bill Simmons, too, are hilarious and can kind of bring an extra type of flair. But, yeah, I'm a big Sports Illustrated person and that type of storytelling. And so Gary Smith would probably be my top choice as far as someone that just can, like, you read his stuff sometimes and you're like, how did he even get that little piece of information? It's because, you know, his questions had to have been so detailed. And I respect that so much as a reporter because, you know, you just have to dive in and you have to really get to know these people down to the last, like, what type of car were you driving? What color shirt were you wearing? What, like, it's insane. And so, yeah, he's someone that I definitely, you know, look up to. And I mean, the list can go on and on. And I just, yeah, like you said, I try to read as much as possible and try to pick up little things or just style things or just, you know, kind of figure out I'm still learning what I like. And I still feel like I'm still, you know, finding my voice a little bit. And I feel like that's going to develop forever. And so, yeah, I feel like that's a great way to be a good writer is to just keep reading. And so I don't intend to stop doing that.
How much, I think we all, you know, we all use Twitter and we all kind of like it, but how much do you use it for your, specifically for your job?
More now than I used to, even more in the past month, I would say. It's honestly, and this sounds kind of weird, but, you know, the first thing that I do when I get up in the morning is, you know, my phone is sitting on my nightstand, and so the first thing I do is I, you know, check to see if anyone's called or texted or emailed me or whatever, because time difference with Arizona, it's a 2-hour difference, so sometimes someone's, like, texting me at, it's 1 o'clock here, but it's only 11 o'clock there, so they think I'm still awake when sometimes I'm not, and the first thing that I do is I get on Twitter and see, like, kind of what the news is going on, whether it's, you know, actual, like, news, hard news, or sports, or whatever, and if there's something interesting I can see, I'll, you know, click on it and read it, or that's my cue to turn on SportsCenter, or to try to find some more information. So, for me, as a consumer, I definitely use it to get news, and then, you know, as far as just my job is concerned, I mean, I think it's a great tool, as far as I think it's a great way to break news, and it's a great way to kind of connect with readers and to kind of get a feel for what they think is important and that sort of thing. I think it's a great interacting tool. And so, yeah, I feel like if you're a journalist and you're not using Twitter, you're kind of behind the times now, which it seems like everything moves so quickly. But it's definitely a great tool. I feel like kind of if you break news, it should go Twitter, then it should go on your blog, then it should go in an online story, then it should go in the paper. That's kind of the track that I try to use. So I know it's very important just because if something quick happens, you can just let someone know right there, and it can be a great way to get information. I think, you know, with all social media, some people kind of shied away from it at first, but now I think it's a very valuable, tool for your job.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because if somebody, you know, somebody comes up to you and says, "Hey, did you see this in the paper?" I'm like, "God, I saw that like 12 hours ago on Twitter."
Yes.
Okay, well, last question, and only because I told you I'd ask it, but who is your favorite Arizona State athlete of all time?
Oh, it's Big Plummer. You knew I was going to say that, too. I have a lot, obviously. I think my favorite athlete or the best athlete, I even saw some great people while I was in school. You know, I saw James Harden, who obviously a lot of people are quite familiar with now.
Right.
He was there in my sophomore and junior years of college, and he was a baller for ASU, just like he's, you know, starting to really come along for the Thunder. I saw some great baseball players, Mike Leake, Ike Davis, Andre Ethier, who are now all in the majors. But, I mean, Jake the Snake is definitely my favorite as far as he's kind of the first athlete that I remember really latching on to. Because that 1996 season when ASU was about a minute and a half away from winning the national title, I was 8 years old then, so I was kind of, like, finally old enough to get it, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
What was going on. And my mom always jokes around that when I would go to games that, like, when the defense was on the field, I would have my binoculars and I would just watch Jake Plummer on the sideline, like, not even doing anything. I don't even know why I was doing that, but, yeah, I would watch. I was obsessed with him, and so, and not, like, in a creepy way. I mean, in an 8-year-old, I, like, worshipped him type of way. So, yeah, he's definitely in my top player of all time, but, you know, I saw a lot of good ones, and, you know, Pat Tillman comes to mind, obviously, some great ones that I've seen recently, and again, great people that I got a chance to cover and meet and actually get to know as people. But yeah, Jake Plummer is definitely at the top of my list.
Well, I couldn't think of a better way to end our podcast than talking about Jake the Snake.
Yes.
I appreciate you coming on, Gina Mizell. Enjoy your next 10 days, your first football game at Boone Pickens Stadium. And try and get some sleep here in the next this weekend or something.
Yeah, all right. Thanks, no problem.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Gina.
All right, have a good one.
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye.